Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1489. The topic is mindset, and the title is gynecomastia. So the reason why I'm doing this one for mindset is this was a listener request. They're having issues with gynecomastia, and it's really messing them up mentally. So I thought this would be just kind of a good podcast to touch on that. So the listener had mentioned that I have worked with people in non-drug tested competitions, meaning they can take whatever they want to take in order to earn pro cards. Now, they asked if I had had experience with clients who had gynecomastia and what we did with it. So what gynecomastia is it's the growth of breast tissue that is present in the male. So one study I read said that 62% of males have the gene to have like breast tissue present. And it's all, so it's kind of like a luck of the draw. Some people won't have the tissue, therefore they can take whatever drugs they want and they're going to say they've never had any issues. Other people, if they have the gene for it, and it's loosely coordinated, correlated with if the women in your family have big breasts, men tend to have they're more likely to have the breast tissue present for themselves. So it's kind of an interesting kind of genetic code. But the tissue is already present. And then whenever, if somebody starts supplementing and they're changing their testosterone and estrogen balance, it can cause that breast tissue to grow. And that's where they grow. Essentially, it's just gynecomastia is a fancy word for breasts on men. So they'll have breast tissue. And that's not typically something that we associate with the look of a male. So therefore the men will feel self-conscious about it, especially if they're going to get on stage and compete, because as you lose body fat and water retention, the breast tissue stays. So it actually becomes more and more evident, more and more obvious that they have it. And then in male competitions, you are downgraded by the presence of gynecomastia. So I don't know what a judge would say about that, but it's usually not a helpful thing aesthetically. Most people, most federations are going to want to decrease the presence of that in their like highest class, like their pros. So it's a good idea to just get it removed. Now, the listener was asking, are there ways to decrease it? No, you can decrease the visual size by controlling water retention and body fat, but you can't actually just like eliminate the breast tissue. You can't diet away the breast tissue. You can't take drugs that just eat only breast tissue and remove it. There's only ways to control the size of it related to water retention and body fat. But as you get leaner, it actually makes it more and more obvious. So there's really no best way to control it. If you try to use diuretics and anti-estrogens, you're going to cause more issues for your health, like your heart and blood vessels, organs. It's way worse to try to mitigate it and play around with different components. It's going to be better to just get surgery to get it removed. That pretty much any IFBB pro that you see that doesn't have it, they either were the genetic type that never had it or they had to have surgery for it. Now, if you want a deep dive, you can look into some of their early competition photos and you might see before they got their pro card, some of their first competitions, they might have had a little bit of gynecomastia. And then all of a sudden there was this off season where they didn't compete for 6 to 9 months. And then all of a sudden the gynecomastia was gone. That would be the surgery from it. So the surgery is going to be the best way to do it, and you want to actually remove the tissue, but actually go into like the ducts and like remove everything, literally everything. Now, some surgeons will say that they advise against that, because if they remove all of the breast tissue, like all of it, that it can leave an indent under the nipple. However, if you're controlled body fat, say under 20% body fat, that's really not even very visible. Like I have tons of clients, you can't see that on them. Well, not tons of clients, but the clients who have had the surgeries, you can't see it in the off season. They still stay around 20% body fat. You would never even notice that there was anything there. So if you tell the surgeon that you are competing and that you're going to be under 10% body fat, they would understand then your desire to try to remove all of the tissue rather than leaving some just for like evening it out at 20% body fat, because you don't want that, because once you go down to under 10% body fat, it's still going to be visible. So tell them to take everything out. Now, this can be very challenging financially because it's an elective surgery. I don't know any insurance companies that would cover this, even though it's extremely mentally damaging. I remember I had one client, he said he would tape over his nipples to try to get them to not stick out so much in t-shirts and stuff. But then as he built himself and he wanted to compete, he eventually realized that he wouldn't be able to hide it anymore. But I remember that he said that that extended him, I think, like 2 or 3 years where he could have competed, but he didn't want to because he was afraid of it being seen. So it was a huge mental burden for him. But by the time he got the surgery, he got to compete, and you know, everything was better from there. So with it being an elective surgery, it is going to cost some money. If I had to throw out a rough estimate, I think it's around $10,000-ish. You might need to get like care credit, you know, some type of credit card that allows you to pay for medical expenses and then pay it off over time. The recovery from it, roughly, I think like 4 to 8 weeks. You can get the surgery, get it removed, and then just let the tissues heal so that way you're not, tearing at any stitches or anything like that. And it's something that, you know, $10,000 sounds like a lot. Just remember that you can extend it over time. There are different options for that, different pay options. And maybe even like if you go to a surgeon who's done it before and or it's like a specialty of theirs, a cosmetic surgeon, they might have their own pay system for it. So you can kind of look further into that. But I just wanted to answer the listener's question and say that it's nothing you did. It's not necessarily anything you did wrong. Yeah, if you had the gene for it, the tissue is already present. If you started playing around, you know, with testosterone supplementation, you're going to run the risk of it. Now, once you have it, I would really recommend not using diuretics and antiestrogens and, you know, things like that to try to control it, because that's going to cause more issues. I would advise you to go talk to other coaches as well. So that way it's not just my opinion, but go talk to other people who help non-drug tested competitors and see if you can get some advice from them and what they say. But this is the advice that I have heard from all the coaches that I looked up to and I learned everything from. This is all what they say, and this has been what I see with the people I work with as well. So not a fun answer in the sense that, you know, just take this and this and you don't have to worry about it again. You might have to get the surgery. You're probably going to have to get the surgery if you want to compete, depending on how big it is. And then that will help you then once you get the surgery. You know, if you take a year or two, you pay it off, and then you never have to worry about it ever again for the rest of your life. Pretty badass. So a little bit of an interesting topic, because I don't normally get into drugs and that kind of stuff, but I am always, always happy to answer questions. I answer a lot of questions just via email, and I don't always make a podcast for every question that's sent in, by the way. It's just sometimes the topic either isn't applicable to a large scale podcast, or it's pretty sensitive information and I just want to help that person and not put too much out there in the world. But I wanted to do this one because it is common that males will have gynecomastia, even if they don't play around with drugs. They might have just had some type of difference or some types of offsetting in estrogen levels and testosterone levels, you know, as a teen. Maybe you're overweight as a teenager. That's going to cause different estrogen levels. So you might have actually developed breast tissue larger just from being simply overweight. And now that you're trying to lean out and lose weight, you can see the gynecomastia and it's like, damn, I didn't even do anything. Like, I didn't take any drugs. I didn't mess anything up. So it's definitely mentally stressful if you are struggling with gynecomastia. So hopefully today's podcast, like, kind of short and sweet, but hopefully it gave you some information. And then if you do have any questions, just reach out or email us brutalirongym@gmail.com. I am always, always, always happy to help people. I got into doing this because of weightlifting, and then it led into nutrition. controlling those and then how that impacted my aesthetics really helped me mentally and emotionally in life. So if you're struggling mentally and emotionally due to the way you look, I would always, always encourage you to reach out. I'm always going to be happy to help, and I'll always be very supportive. Cool. Well, I hope that was helpful. So I sent that listener a bunch of other information, but if you ever want any information or questions, just again, reach out or email us, brutalironjim@gmail.com. Okay. Well, if you like our podcast, please consider sharing it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people can help. Thank you to those who donate to support the podcast. It costs over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day, and I want to keep it for free. So thank you to those who donate to help support the podcast. You can donate at our website at www.brutalironjim.com. If you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Jim. And if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.